So, new question. You know, everybody knows where we are, right? You were explaining to us, where are we?
We are getting close to the end of book three, and we're having the final stories that sum up what's gone on before, and try to give us the nuance of returning and what that's about.
Yes.
You
could see a little bit clearer if you go a little bit further back. First of all, we are at the end of book three. Means what? Means one of these big sessions is going to be finished, and he has done it twice, so we know how to do it. Book one, it arrived at the end, it made up a story about Ali killing the guy, not killing the guy, and his family, and I said, okay, enough is enough, goodbye. Book two, he started right from the beginning to say, what is this wisdom? Explained it that, listen, this is not something that you wanted to just have the key for it, and rush it off. You are involved in agitated emotions, and you don't know what's happening to yourself, and so on and so on. It's the form and the essence.
Thank you.
You have to think like this. You have to do that. And at the end of the book, suddenly it arrived to the point. We said, okay, physically I explained it all, right? But there are some parts of it which are not really explainable. Let's talk about that. Was the story of the Abraham who was sitting and doing some little stuff and the needle dropped down. My needle. All those golden needles came out. My needle. To explain what I was talking about. That this will. I want you to understand the end of the path, which is not explainable, which doesn't look logical to you because you are following your mind. I'm talking about needlessness. I'm talking about magical stuff. Remember that. Here, book three, you started to talk about enrichment. How you should study, what are the subjects that you could see, what are the subjects that you could avoid, what are the promises that are funny, ridiculous. This is how you go the path and all that. At the end, and all of this, remember, enrichment is not getting richer. Economically, richness is like this. You try to get richer and richer, right? And it never ends. For us, that's not the story. We want to be rich enough to turn around to do the good stuff. We know that all this knowledge is just a tool. And after learning all of it, we have to learn the last part of it, which is not explainable, which is not logical, and we cannot talk about it. If I remember good, the last verses was, in this place of presence, mind are lost beyond control. When the pan reaches this point, it breaks. Yes. Listen, I explained everything to you, except one, which is the most important one, and I left it for the last. That's how it works. What is it? At the last point, he's talking about the other part of these two funny parts we have. Do you remember right at the beginning that there are two verses? One is Rabbana inna nadhalamna anfusana, accepting the responsibility. The second one, you didn't do it when you did it, right? The end part is that. You don't do it. You just get rich enough to qualify yourself to be pooled, because here the act of you reaching somewhere doesn't happen because you try your best. He will pool you. At the end of the last story, the lover who wanted to go back, we heard it, said, the king remembered the guy, therefore the guy started. Credit doesn't go to you. Credit goes to beloved. We are talking about love. This is the one of those exceptional parts that he's talking about lovers and beloved. And when you want to talk about lover and beloved, who is the lover? Nothing. Doesn't count. Beloved is everything. Lover is me. Beloved. This is what we are talking about the beloved. And practically, Rumi is trying to explain here what really loving is. So we'll hear a description about love, a different one. Who is the guilty party? Volunteer, Peter.
How the beloved caressed the senseless lover, that he might return to his senses.
You see, lover is senseless. Lover is senseful when beloved is not here. When the beloved is here, lover is nothing. Yes.
The Sadri Jahan, from kindness, was drawing him little by little from senselessness into clear expression. The prince cried into his ear, O beggar, I bring gold to scatter o'er thee. Spread out thy skirt. Thy spirit, which was quivering in separation from me, since I have come to protect it, how has it fled? O thou who hast suffered heat and cold in separation from me, come to thyself from selflessness and return.
You will see, you will hear the ironies. All the way, right from the beginning, you were talking about the problem of self, ego, right? I said, you should become selfless. When the beloved arrives, you say, hey, why are you selfless? Because this is the point that you don't need even to be this selfless. It's that strange. Yes?
The domestic fowl, in the manner of a host, foolishly brings a camel to her house. When the camel set foot in the hen's house, the house was destroyed and the roof fell in. The hen's house is our intelligence and understanding. The good intelligence is a seeker of God's she-camel.
Do you remember we talked about that camel? That camel, which is the essence of this wisdom, that camel that everybody has lost, but a lot of people, they don't know. A few people know, they are looking for it, there are some group imitating it, then they will find it. Do you remember all that? That camel, which was the essence of this wisdom, actually, is something we are seeking, right? You say, yes, but do not forget. This is like a chicken inviting a camel to come to our home. The camel will put one foot over there, the home is ruined. This is how it happens. I'm asking God to accept me, and if he accepts me, there is no me anymore. And that's what I should understand. Do you remember the chicken here? He doesn't say chicken. He would say the house chicken, which was a very special chicken. Do you remember what kind of chicken was it? The only chicken that cannot fly. It's not really thinking. It's just these nonsenses. Because this is what we have. When he arrives, everything will be different. Because we were talking about selflessness, and here he will tell you, come to yourself. Yes.
When the she camel put her head into its water and clay, neither its clay remained there, nor its soul and heart. Preeminence in love made man overweening. Because of this desire for excess,
This is a very complicated stuff here, and he will just point at it and tries to maybe live it. Is this that we are doing the stuff that it's not related to us. We have that curiosity, which here he words the negative use for that curiosity, for seeking for everything. And we say, this is his gift to us somehow, to be this curious. And don't forget,